This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, are we talking wrestling or aren't we? You're going to have to listen and find out. Joining us this week is one half of the AIW Tag Team Champions, the 7-foot savage, Mr. Fresh to Death, Pretty Boy Smooth.
Welcome. It's been a long time coming.
What's up? How we doing?
Oh, fantastic. Well, we just got back from your show tonight, which felt like a fucking marathon,
That's AIW for you. Probably got out earlier tonight than we normally do.
I know, it's weird, dude, because like the Ray Rowe thing, you weren't at that show though, right?
I was not.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you were... That show, because obviously they were going to give him a big send-off and everything and let him do his thing, and it was good because, what's his name? Josh Prohibition came out and talked about him. It was a really good show, but like a half hour into it, I'm just like, all right. I understand it's your send off, but and then somebody was like, oh, you should have been here for Gargano's. He was like an hour.
Yeah, they didn't want him to leave either.
No, I'm sure.
Like he was asking to get off the mic, and they weren't letting it happen.
No, please. So we're here to talk about it, and
yeah. So PB, why do you hate people who complain too much?
Oh my God. You know, I guess the big thing for me is when you have things that are within your control, like for example, say someone's like upset at a grade they got on a test, but they didn't study for it. It's kind of contradicting to me. And like when I'm around people that are always complaining that they wish they had this or they wish they had that, it's just like, all right, well, what effort or work are you putting in to get that?
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff just frustrates me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just because, like, dude, if anybody, and, we'll get to, your Twitter and Instagram and stuff, like, at the end. But, like, if anybody follows you, they know you have a fucking work ethic. And, like, you don't take no shit. Like, stop bitching about it. Just do it.
You can't. Like, you got to make your own opportunities. And,
Absolutely.
And I'm speaking from experience. Like, I'm not going to act like I've never complained about anything, because I have.
Everybody does.
Yeah, but it's like, at some point, you got to grow and learn from your situation and start doing stuff. You know what I mean?
Without a doubt, man.
But when you complain, what are you trying to accomplish by doing it?
Exactly. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. When I started wrestling, I started training at Pro Wrestling Rampage. It's a company in Erie, Pennsylvania. And they only have a ring up once a month for the shows.
Yeah.
So I'd only get in a ring once a month to train.
Oh, wow.
And coming from a basketball background, I'm used to being able to put shots up in the gym every day, go back and do this and do that.
Yeah.
So I was getting frustrated saying, oh, I could be much better than I am, but I'm not getting the ring time. So instead of complaining about it all the time, I found a school that was closer to me that ran more often. I mean, I had to make the sacrifice of driving back and forth 2 hours to Cleveland, but
right. It's
paying off. Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting the extra ring time I need, so.
You're getting the extra ring time you need? I mean, dude, I think the first time I saw you was, I believe, it must have been last summer. It might have been the show before. before Absolution, or it might have been Absolution. I can't really remember, but I immediately was just like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I was just like taken aback, and Zach, or, you know, our Zach Schildwalker, he was like, he's like, yeah, dude, he's only been wrestling, like, I think at that point, like, what was it, like, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that?
Yeah, I'm coming up on 2 years now, in March.
So, yeah, like, he's like, I was like, dude, like, he's only a year in, and he's fucking got bad already. I was just like, must fucking work real hard.
Yeah, well, I'm also fortunate that I had Johnny Gargano training me for 6 to 7 months,
that's,
you know?
That's not a bad thing to have on your resume.
Yeah, it definitely helps, so.
I mean... So do you experience, I'm sure, because everybody complains, but like, I'm sure you experience a lot in the locker room and shit. It's like, dude, stop bitching, just go do something.
Yes, I mean, sometimes, like, people will get upset that they're not booked on certain shows, you know. Like, there's a few shows that I wanted to get on that I haven't been on, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to find a way, whether it's showing up early to try to help set up the ring and meet the promoter face-to-face, or sending out cover letters and resumes to different promoters, or...
Yeah.
Just wait until they want you, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You gotta put in the time and effort, so...
And I mean, and that's the other thing, dude, is, I mean, you do take the time to, like, engage on, like, YouTube and all that stuff. So, like, you take the extra steps to do what you need to do. But, I mean, like, even, like, it comes down to, like you said, like, hard work and shit. Like, anybody who listens to this podcast knows this about me. Sheer knows this about me. I was a shithead for, like... my entire 20s. I went and got a fucking DUI, flipped my car, broke my arm and shit, and for like 6 months I just like wallowed in self-pity, like I don't know what to do, blah blah blah, and it took me almost getting kicked out of my apartment to be like, oh shit, a fire had to be lit under my ass. 2 years later, I'm doing all this crazy shit, and it's like, and people ask me like, what are you doing differently? I'm like, I work fucking hard.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their different triggers. For me, I come from a hard-working family. Like, my dad had 4 jobs, like, my entire life. I barely got to see him during the week and things like that. I have some siblings that have had issues. Like, I have a brother that's a drug addict and other things like that. So, seeing all, like, the bad stuff go on around me kind of made me say, hey, like, that's what's going to happen if I do that. So, maybe I should go this route, you know?
Right. So, you know, yeah, it's like you learn from, I mean... You can say you learn from other people's mistakes, or it's just like you kind of more like, I see what that is, I see what that does, I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when did when you've encountered the people that complain to, is it something you've experienced within your own family?
Oh, absolutely. Like, like even my mom sometimes, and she'll hate me for saying this, but like, there'll be days that she'll complain to me about like how she wants to lose weight and do this and do that, and I'm like, well, then go do it. Like, what's stopping you?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's 24 hours in a day. You know, if you have a full-time job, you work 8 hours, what are you doing for the other however time it is, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, if you really want something, you got to go get it and not make excuses. And that's kind of how I want to live my life.
Well, dude, that's like I was going to say, like, on your fucking Instagram, or like, when you texted me this morning, like, about doing this, and you're like, sorry for the earlier late text. I'm just like, I happened to be up, and it was just like, dude, how many hours do you sleep for, like, 3-4 hours a night?
Yeah, I usually get about 4 hours of sleep a night.
Because, yeah, I mean, you train, like, twice a fucking day, don't you? Or at least some of the time?
Yeah, most days.
That's fucking nuts. That's,
yeah.
I guess, I mean, commitment, though, dude. And it's fucking paying off.
Well, I spend a lot of time watching, like, self-improvement things, like books and, like, TED Talks and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're like every super successful person I've seen, whether it's like Kobe Bryant or like a Bob Proctor, like anyone from different angles that have like made a lot of money and been successful in their field, like they sacrifice sleep, you know, like they spend a lot of time grinding, you know, like they put that effort in. When people say, oh, you're crazy, you can't do that, or you're tired, you know, like you go and do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'm big on proving people wrong. Like, I've had a lot of people tell me, oh, you're not going to get a chiseled physique only sleeping on 4 hours and stuff. I'm like, all right, cool, that was the worst thing you could have said to me, because now I'm gonna make you look stupid, you know what I mean?
Because so, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, it's like your mind can train your body to do what you want.
Yeah,
you know, like when you think of like dudes in the army, like Green Berets, I was watching, I think they have like a hell week or something, like for Navy SEALs, and the stuff that they put these guys through on a daily basis, and they're only getting 4 hours of sleep. And it's like, if you're like in a war, like how much sleep are you going to get, or someone's going to snipe you?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like your body, we're adaptable creatures, and people don't realize that. So they let their minds hold them back from where they can go. So I try to show people that you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the body can't exist on 4 hours of sleep. I did that for a long time. It was not because of the meth, Jordan. You're giving me that look. I'm not on meth now unless I'm doing hot rails with bacon grease.
Oh, man, I ain't come here for all that.
No. I'm clean. I found that when people complain to me because I listen, and maybe that's a mistake on my part, but the act of complaining seems to be about the level of work that they're willing to put into their problem.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just they've gotten it out now. Now that it's out of them, they don't have to do anything about it.
I mean, people just don't like being uncomfortable. And
yeah,
me being as competitive as I am, like, I love it. Because, like, everyone looks at millennials and say that we're all lazy and stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, if that's true, that's going to make it easier for me to stand out. Because I'm just going to outwork everyone around me, you know? But, I mean, I come from, like, a blue-collar background, and all my parents are, like, Southern. They raised me a certain way. So it's like, you just, if you want something done, you have to work for it.
Because, you know, both him and I come from a comedy background. I mean, he still does stand-up and stuff. But, like, we've been doing this podcast about a year and a half now.
Yep.
Just about a year and a half. And, you know, we got fucking nominated for Best Podcast in Cleveland. Like,
that's
like,
awesome, man.
You're very happy about that.
I am fucking happy about it, because, like, I sit there and I look at that. I would have never fucking thought, like, when my mom, who's, like, doesn't have anything to do with, like, the shit I do entertainment-wise, and, like, when she called me and was like, hey, somebody told me that you were nominated for Best Podcast, I was like, I didn't even fucking know that. So I had to go look up online, and I was like, oh, holy shit, we actually are. It's very cool. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's just something that, like, you know, we kind of both stepped back from, like, doing stand-up. I mean, I hadn't been doing it for a while, but you kind of stepped back and you started working on other projects as well, like, that your passion projects, because it's like, you're not going to... People aren't just going to, like, throw you a bone. You got to throw yourself a bone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the reason that I took a step back from doing stand-up as much is because I also hate people who complain too much. And a lot of what I found myself doing is listening to the complaints.
Oh, yeah.
And it was driving me nuts. So I was just like, I can't be around this. I want to work.
And you know what else happens? You start complaining about the people complaining.
Yeah.
Like, that's happened to me so many times.
Yep.
Like, somebody will start complaining to me about, oh, this wrestler wants to be here, but he's not even in shape. He's not doing this and doing that. And I'm like, yeah.
It's not my problem.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't keep going back and forth with you on this, because now I'm sitting here talking about this man when I need to be focused on what I'm doing.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, if he wants to do him, that's his decision.
Yeah, that's just kind of, I mean, like, that's the point where I got to, where it's just like, you know, I'm gonna do as much as I can to help the people around me.
Yeah, absolutely.
The people who have helped me. Like, I'm all about that, but it's like, if you're gonna sit there and just, like, fucking dog on a person, like, I don't have time, or nor do I care. Yeah, there's plenty of people I don't like, and I could sit there and bitch about. But why do that when I can go do a million other things that are more important and more productive?
Yeah, you only have so much energy in a day, so it's kind of wasteful to use it on, like,
no shit,
stuff like that. And, like,
I will admit, there are times when I do enjoy a good group message dragging. But
I mean, sometimes it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that's kind of funny, but at the end of the day, you got to realize what we're here for, you know, and it's not to waste time dealing with that, so.
I mean, we're here for, like, I've said that before, it's like, you're here for a very short amount of time in the grand scheme of things, so yeah. Make it fucking count.
Yeah.
Like, I was tired of being one of those people who just bitched and complained all the time. And, like, oh, poor me. Oh, no, not poor you, dude. Like, you did this to yourself. That's another thing, is people who don't fucking take accountability for fucking actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you can't see, like, how point A led you to point B and where you're at now, you're an idiot.
So I'll give you a perfect example, and this is going to tie into what I was saying before about the food situation. So when you originally offered me food, I wanted pizza, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, if I were to eat that pizza and then wake up tomorrow morning, I'm feeling bloated and whatnot,
yeah.
I'm going to be pissed at myself. Like, yo, why did I let myself go? Why did I do this?
Yeah.
So instead of knowing that I'm going to complain about that, I might as well eat something healthy tonight. That's why I said, let's do the chicken wraps.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to sacrifice now for what you want later.
And, yeah, you know. Absolutely. I completely, that's what I figured when you texted me that, I was like, I know where he's going with this. He's like, I'm gonna fucking eat healthy. I'm gonna stick to it.
Yeah, it's like, cause with wrestling, it's year round. You don't have an off season unless you take like a light schedule a month or so. And right now I'm trying to get whatever I can get and get my name out there.
Yeah, you want the heavy schedule.
Yeah, so it's like, I can't afford to let myself go right now.
And that's while you're working a fucking full-time job too.
Dude.
I mean, yeah, when you're starting out doing anything, you still gotta keep the full-time job. I don't know how the hell I eat. I don't have a full-time job, and I do comedy full-time.
Hey, it's, you make it work, though. I mean, somehow.
Hand jobs. Oh, God.
So many. All the hand jobs. I mean, so you said, like, we talked about, okay, so a little bit of, like, you notice it in your family. Obviously that's going to happen in like the business that you're in, but like people at work, for example, like I just quit my job last week. I knew I was getting another one that I start Monday. And, it's just funny, like, to hear the people that I was working with, like, when I was like, you know, I'm fucking out of here. I'm not putting up with this shit anymore. It was like, I was waking up super anxious every day and like throwing up going into work. Like, I don't want to work in an environment like that. So I just kept my mouth shut, and then, like, I hear all them bitching around me, and it's just like, you know what? But none of you are doing anything to get out of here. I was at work on Indeed, just, like, applying for any job that I could.
It's usually jobs where that stuff happens, man, because the worst thing that can happen is you walk by someone and say, what's up, or how you doing? They say, living the dream, and they say it sarcastically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like, I literally hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, there'll be people that work at certain places, and all they do is complain and cry, or people that'll knock me for wrestling, but I'm actually living my dream and doing what I want. And I wake up happy every day. Like, a lot of these guys, like, they leave college and high school, and, like, those were their glory days.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like my glory days ain't here yet. You always got to find something to keep you going. Like, there's one dude I was talking to, and this is kind of an extreme case, but this is just how I think. So, he was trying to give me, he doesn't know what his passion is in life and what he wants to do or whatever. Because he's like, he works a job or whatever, but he's kind of lazy. And he looked at me and was like, oh, well, if I was 6'8", I totally would have went to the NBA. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I'm a 5'11 white guy. I would never make it. I'm like, dude, like, you, do you ever put in the work like any of these guys that have done this? And he's just going back and forth about me, like, about being athletic and this stuff and whatnot. And I'm like, I've grown up with dudes like, you know, Tobias Harris that plays for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Me and him were teammates for like 6-7 years when I was younger. This kid was not athletic growing up. He was just tall and doofy and couldn't move.
Yeah.
But he kept working. He trained to do certain things, so he's able to do it now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, well, look at J.J. Redick. He's not athletic. He could shoot, and he's there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 6'4", da, da, da. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to find a 5'11 white dude that made it to the NBA just to prove you're wrong.
I'm sure Bob Cousy was 5'11".
Or John Stockton, NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
So being that one person did what you said couldn't be done, you never know. It could have been done.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't put in the work now, so it wouldn't have mattered if you were 6'8".
Yeah.
Or had hops or any of that. You know what I mean?
So yeah, because, you know, you'd be, oh, I'm 6'8". Oh, I wish my knees were better. You know, like, you're
almost, like, dude, you're like, finding excuse. Like, you take what God gives you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could be like, oh, I wish I could do this or do that. I'm like, well, if I didn't try to do it, how do I know if I couldn't? You know?
That's a huge thing. Is like, you can't say, oh, I could have, I should have. Try and find out if you could have or would have.
Yeah, like, people get talked out of stuff too easy. Yeah. Like, anytime someone tells me I can't do something, it just fuels me. Because I like making people look stupid and just smiling at them.
Well, that's like, I mean, just like for years, like I used to book like punk rock shows, all kinds of like shit. and always talked about wanting to be in a band and wanting to be like basically the center of attention and like do stuff in the, you know, entertainment wise and everything. And people were always like, oh yeah, you always talk. And I did, you know what? I was all talk until I started doing shit. And now it's like, I actually have something to show for it. And it's like, I don't say that shit very often. I don't say it out loud. I don't post on Facebook about it, but it's like, I know the people who said I wouldn't do anything. They know. Oh yeah, they know.
No, they know. And there's always going to be somebody saying something. You know what I mean? Like the joke on me a lot was like, oh, PB must have weak legs. Just because like I had knee injuries back in the day, so I never really squatted.
Yeah. Mm.
So now that my knees are better and I started squatting, I'm squatting like 315 with ease almost.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, well, he can't squat deeper. I'm like, all right, well, me and you don't have the same leg length.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, there's always going to be something that someone says, even if you were at, like, the top of the mountain. So it's just like,
yeah, there's always going to be naysayers. And if there's not, you're doing something wrong.
Like, yeah. And it's for them to make themselves feel more secure.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, like, me, I'm just like, all right. And I just laugh it off because I know at the end of the day, like, I'm making progress. And while they're spectating, I'm going to move past them at some point.
Because you're more focused on your work than what people are fucking saying.
I find that a lot, though, that people that are apt to just call you on petty bullshit are only doing it so they can build themselves up. And not just to themselves, to anybody that will listen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Like, there are dudes that just talk and talk. And, like, I'm not even good at small talk as it is. So I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to start a conversation complaining about something.
Right. Yeah,
like, I live in Erie right now. You know how it's always snowing.
Yeah.
Every time I see somebody, oh, it's cold outside. I'm like, I know. We live in Erie. Like, why are you wasting time telling me this? Like, this if it bothers you that much, just move. Like, yes, it snows. We got 60 inches this year. I got it. Anyone with an eye can see that.
Right. Like, don't waste my time with this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find that people that talk about the weather, that's the only way that they know how to start a conversation.
Yeah, that is very true.
I mean, and, like, that's not somebody I want to, like, spend my time talking to. It's just, I mean, like you said, I'm not good at small talk anyway. It's like, that's why it's just like, I'd rather have a fucking real conversation with somebody. Yeah. You know, like, something where it's, like, gonna go somewhere. Like, somebody who can give me a pointer, or I can give a pointer too. Like, you know, vice versa, whichever way it works.
I'm not sure how it works half the time.
But you get through it.
Yeah, I get it. You gotta push through. Because, you know, I'm in the conversation business.
This is what we do.
Yeah. Pretty much it.
I feel like sometimes people just don't know what to say to me, so they just say whatever, like, I'll get, hey, you look like LeBron James. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I know I'm tall with tats and whatnot, but I don't look like him. But people will say that to me.
Just like it's, that's, because that's all they got. That's all they can come up with.
I don't know.
I mean, it just.
All right. How about Mr. T? How often do you get Mr. T?
I've never got that.
You never got Mr. T?
I pity the fool that says that to me.
Catch a kick to the face, dude.
Probably.
I mean, but like you said, people who complain all the time and don't do anything about it. Like, that's really what, like, that's like really what sticks in my craw. It's just like you said about like people who talk about the weather or whatever, like, then change it. Like, anybody has the ability to fucking change anything they don't like in their life.
But here's the sad part. Like, the people that are like mentally disabled and stuff,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10 they have like the happiest lives for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, cause they don't worry about like the little stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I've never met someone that has a handicap that seemed like they're always like miserable, or at least they don't portray it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like we have so much going on. Like, there are real things going on in worlds and like in the world that you can't change.
Right.
So it's like, when you have control over certain things, it's like, why let that bother you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that was a, you know, the big problem I had for a long time. It's just like, I can't control the small things around me. And it's just like, that shit doesn't matter, though. Like, the stupid little shit, it's like, you have to, like, point yourself in the right direction.
I'm still working on that. I have control issues. I want to be able to manage all the things that are going on around me so that I can only... The only things that are going wrong are my fault, because I know how to deal with that, but I can't deal with something that's out of my control going wrong and not being able to do anything. And that's where I'm trying to figure things out right now.
Yeah, I mean, just, it's like letting go, you know?
Yeah, well, what helped me with that is, like as I said before, I watch like a lot of stuff on YouTube. Yeah. Will Smith has this little bit on fault and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, like, certain things are going to happen into your life that aren't your fault, but it's your responsibility how you act towards them.
Yeah.
Like, he was saying, like, it's not your fault if you're born into poverty, but it's your responsibility to get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people don't take that mindset. And I know, like, sometimes people get annoyed. People are, like, overly positive and, like, they may think it's corny and stuff, but, like, I've literally brainwashed myself into thinking this way because I want to get the most out of my life. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, you talk a lot about like mental toughness and stuff, and that like it's a real like that's a real fucking thing. I mean, granted, there are issues that can arise with other people as well, like mental illness issues, things like that.
Yeah.
That but like you can. Like, and it's not to disparage anything about that, but like you can train yourself to think a certain way. Now, granted, you're gonna have to fight harder,
absolutely,
than the other people. But like, I mean, I struggle with it, like my fucking anxiety and shit.
For sure, we all still struggle with it. You know, it's just how you handle it. Yeah. Like when I'm having moods like that, I'll like I said, I'll watch something on YouTube or I'm working on a vision board that I'm making. That's helping me like visualize my goals more, or even looking at my tattoos. Some of them have meanings to help me get through certain things like that, you know? So it's just all about how you react to things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, that Will Smith thing, one of the things I saw, I had this written on my desk at work because like, when I first started doing sales, like I would get nervous calling people, you know what I mean? Even though I can talk to fucking anybody like face to face. Doesn't bother me. But like when you call somebody and you're asking them for money, it's a totally different game. And I watched a video, it just happened to like pop up in my feed one time, and his whole like the whole thing was about how I'm sure you've seen it before when he talks about skydiving.
Yeah.
And he goes, they get you up there and they say, okay, you're gonna go on three.
Yeah, I know
he
you're
goes,
talking
one,
about.
Two,
and they push you.
And then they push you. And he goes, because on three, you're gonna put your hands up. And the one quote that I wrote down from that was I know it as Will Smith said it. I don't know if I'm sure, but everything you want is on the other side of fear. And it's like conquering that like is a huge, huge part of like not bitching all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like that reminds me of a conversation I had with Thorin a while ago when he was telling me I need to get out my comfort zone in my matches, you know, cuz like as a big guy, I was always taught that you were supposed to do certain things a certain way, and like I was too afraid of giving away my presence to like fully be myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then like when I started being myself, things took off for me more.
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't need to pretend I'm a whoop somebody's ass when I know I can in real life anyway. So why not enjoy myself and have fun? You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Like LL Cool J would put out hard records and then have I Need Love. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't. Everyone is like multifaceted. You don't have to act one way all the time.
Exactly.
And it's like if you are, then what's your personality?
You're just one-dimensional.
Yeah. Like I'd rather break the stereotypes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So. But you gotta tell me, what's going on with those toys right there?
Oh, yeah, I was being funny. Rey Mysterio is humping Goldberg.
Oh, my God.
You did that on purpose.
I did do it on purpose because I thought it was funny. And I was sitting in here with Mason yesterday, my cousin, and I was just waiting for him to notice it.
Oh, my God, man. I want nothing to do with that. Killing me.
Yeah, it's a toy Rey Mysterio.
Your closet anti-Semitism never ceases to amaze me.
Wow. I didn't even put two and two together, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, Goldberg, of course, Goldberg's taking it from Rey Mysterio.
Well, I mean,
monster.
But it's funnier that way.
I mean, it is funnier that way.
And it has nothing to do with being Jewish or you being Jewish. I don't care.
It's, yeah, I mean, Goldberg on Rey Mysterio is a little more menacing.
PB has nothing to do with this.
Not even a little bit. He asked a question, and he opened up a can of worms.
Yeah, way more than I bargained for.
That happens a lot here.
Yeah, that's what we do on this show, but, worms. You were going to say something, I think, before.
No, I was... You had brought up mental illness and working... Actually, this is what I wanted to bring up. I know a guy that's mentally challenged, and he does comedy, which, you know, you already have to have a thick skin in order to get up in front of people. But the struggle that I see isn't necessarily with him getting on stage and him doing it. It's trying to figure out how to do it well. But he loves the process more than anybody I ever met, because he just wants to make art. And that's what drives him. It's not like he's not worried about how he looks. He's not worried about being considered as somebody that's only learning and practicing. He wants to do something and he does it. And I wish more people had that attitude where it's just like, you got to put in work. And even if you suck at first, there's no other way to get better.
You just got to keep, like, when I was driving to Cleveland today, I was watching this show on YouTube called Impact Theory, and they were interviewing Shaun White, like the snowboarder dude, talking about, like, all his gold medals and all stuff, and the main thing he kept saying was he would do things that were hard until they weren't hard anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, he just figured it out and kept trying and trying until he got it right. So it's like, that's what I plan on doing with my life, you know?
Well, one of the things that, like, I've for whatever reason, it's always been this way. If it's a video game or, like, anything that's, like, multifaceted in life, I am the kind of person that I want to tackle the thing that's going to be the hardest and take the longest at first and get that out of the way.
Like, took me 13 years to beat Zelda. Not even kidding.
Really?
Oh, my God. That game scared me as a kid.
Which game? Which
Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
I got stuck in a fish's belly.
Okay.
And I would get lost, and I couldn't read the strategy guide very well at the time.
It's a great game, though.
Yeah, it definitely is.
That's something you talk about Mason with. He's a big Zelda guy.
So was it the problem that, you know, I can't imagine you having luck with that tiny little joystick on that controller.
I was so young, though. I don't remember how old I was. Like, everything about that game scared me at the time. And this was before, like, I knew what YouTube was.
Yeah.
You could just look at the walkthroughs.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, that's over.
Well, that was when I gave up on video games, when the N64 came out. So I was like, I don't like this 3D rotating camera thing. I'm done.
Well, I'm a PlayStation guy, but I just wanted to beat that game. So when I got to college, I bought an N64 just to get that game. And I'm like, you know what? This is on my bucket list. I got to beat it.
And you did it.
Yeah, it took forever, but
that's a hell of a game. But, like, I try to tackle, like, the thing I don't want to do the most first. Like, I just want to get that one out of the way. And then, you know, because, like, those are the things that you learn the most from.
Oh, for sure.
That's why he texts me first thing in the morning when he has to do it. It's the one thing you don't want to do.
No, It's funny because, like, when recently a kid who was getting into comedy had sent me a friend request. This happens in comedy all the time, like, where just because they know that you have done it in the past, they just friend request you. It's weird.
But yeah, do you have that in wrestling where it's just you wrestlers that you never heard of will add you on Twitter?
Sometimes. But, I mean, the thing with that is you never really know. Like, for me anyway, because I'm still very new to indie wrestling, sometimes I don't know who promoters are.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll get a friend request, and I won't think anything of it, but then, like, I'll find out, like, months down the line, like, oh, this guy promotes here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shoot, I should have, like, reached out to him.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, accept everything unless it looks like you're, like, a bot or something.
Like,
I get these weird friend requests from, like, half-naked women that have, like, no friends.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it's the cops, but I don't know who it really is. Like, I don't know, so I just leave those there.
Yeah, that's
just assume every attractive woman that wants to be friends with me is a cop.
Well, it's gotta be. That's like, that's from The Departed, the movie The Departed, when Leonardo DiCaprio was walking out. And the guy looks at me, he's like, you're a cop. He's like, what? He goes, you know most good-looking women are cops? He's like, He's like, yeah, people who don't talk to you, they're cops. He's, you know, most good-looking women are cops.
Like, this is some kind of sting. I'm like, you know what?
I want nothing to do with this.
I ain't come here for all that.
No, hell no. But, like, it's funny because, like, that kid hit me up and, like, I don't do stand-up anymore, so it's like, I don't really have anything to say. Like, he was like, how long have you been doing comedy? I was like, well, I mean, I haven't really been doing it regularly for a while now. I was like, I do podcasts and stuff. And so, like, I left it at that, and then he messaged me the next day. He goes, oh, that's so cool. So, like, how long you been doing it? I'm like, motherfucker, we just had this conversation yesterday. And I was like, well, hey, man, have fun. Like, have at it. Like, you know, there's plenty of people out there doing it. So, you know, just, like, have fun and work hard. And he, like, he goes, no advice? I'm like, motherfucker, I don't know you. I don't owe you advice. And it's like, I came off like, I mean, I feel like cliche saying it, but it's the same shit I say to everybody. Like I've already said tonight, work fucking hard. And when you want to give up, when you think you're not any good at it, try harder, try again. And it's like, it comes off as cliche, but I'm sorry, but every successful person I know says the same exact fucking thing.
They can't be wrong.
No.
They can't.
No. It comes off as cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason.
I disagree. Yeah. I think there are some people that should quit.
Well, I mean, there are certain things that you'll be better at than... Yeah,
correct.
Like, I'm not a good singer, you know? I'm not going to say I can't sing, because I'll never say I can't do something.
Right.
But I'm just not good at it, but I also don't try. You know?
So we won't find Mr. Fresh to Death at the karaoke bar at 1 a.m.
Nah.
Trying his blazing hot rendition of TLC's Waterfalls. That'll never happen.
I mean, I can rap, but that'd be stereotypical, so I'm not going to do that.
The best is the one time when I was like asking to come on the podcast, and I was like, you know, if you want to stay over, you're more than welcome. I was like, what would you like to drink? And you sent me a text, and you said, Hennessy, .. How stereotypical of me, I know. And I lost it. I was like, that's fucking hilarious. Oh, like, that's how I knew you had a sense of humor. I was like, all right, yeah. Cool. Like, we're going to get along.
I never understood the
appeal of Hennessy. I actually hate Hennessy.
Do you?
I never understood the appeal of it. But
I hate Hennessy and fried chicken.
Oh, no, I saw you going off the other day on fried chicken. I was dying laughing.
Why do you hate fried chicken?
I just don't like the taste of it. And my whole point was that, was like, I just hate how, like, these stereotypes are so pushed out. Like, even, like, if I go to shake someone's hand, they feel like they gotta do all this.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. Or, like, you just say hello, y'all gotta be like, what's up? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, dude, like, I understand, like, I'm from New York and whatnot, but we all don't act like that. And, you know, it's like, sometimes you grow from things. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying and doing the same things I was doing when I was 16.
You know? Right, exactly, because
I'm 26.
Yeah, you know? It's 10 years later. You grew as a person.
Yeah, so I mean that's how I wanted to live my life, though. I wanted to be the person that breaks stereotypes, because, like, everyone looked at me like, oh, he had to be a basketball player. Oh, his parents were probably, like, divorced or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, I hoop, but my parents are still together, and I have 2 degrees. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I make sure that there's nothing somebody can put on me.
You're not gonna let them put a label on you.
Yeah.
By any means.
Okay, but what are your degrees in?
My master's is organizational leadership, and my undergrad is communication.
Communication. Also not stereotypical degrees, because, you know...
What are stereotypical degrees?
Business administration and sports medicine.
I mean... Oh, it's just stuff I was never really interested in. Like, I always liked writing.
Yeah.
Like, I used to keep a journal when I was a kid and stuff like that, and I wrote short stories, so...
Oh, do you still do that?
Not really.
No.
Nah.
It's, actually, like, with all the shit that I got going on and everything, like, a buddy of mine, like, my best friend from high school, we a couple years ago came up with this idea for a comic book, and, like, we're finally, like, sitting, like, he's the artist, me and him are writing it together, but he's the artist. We finally sat down a couple weeks ago, and, like, we fleshed out, like, the first, like, 4 pages. And
I remember,
like,
you telling me about that.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this is actually, like, gonna happen. And it's like, yeah, if we end up self-publishing it ourselves, like, say we only make 100 copies, but, like, we still did it. Like, it's still out there. People still read it.
Yeah, I think my research project, my master's, was published.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I think it was. I'm not completely sure. Gotta double-check that one.
Published writer.
Yeah, man.
Add that to the resume.
I'm trying to do it all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be The Rock, man. He got it right.
Well, yes,
he was wrestling, he was in movies, now he's like inspiring people.
Dude,
like
he's great.
I'm trying to be on that level. I'm trying to be on GQ, man.
Yeah, I'll retweet the shit out of that shit.
Yeah, man.
But no, I mean, like, that's a good thing to aspire to be. And like you said before, anybody who tells you, oh, you're never going to be The Rock, fuck you. Now I'm going to try even harder.
Oh, yeah, people always tell me stuff like that. But all it takes is one person to tell me, like, hey, I think you could do that, or I see the resemblance or where you're going with that. And that's all I need sometimes.
Yeah, just a little, you know, push in the right direction.
Yeah, and then sometimes when you don't have that, you just got to be your own push, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So,
well, I met the great Kali many years ago, and he terrified me. he also spoke no English. I signed a thing for my sister that just said, Dalip, because he couldn't figure out how to make sing yet. And the WWF, like, brought him over, basically, to get trained, and, like, they love big guys. Oh. So I think, you know, there's absolutely nothing that's stopping you from being The Rock.
Not a damn thing.
Except maybe a lack of Samoan heritage.
Yeah, I'll just be my version of what I can do, you know?
Well, I mean, dude, like, The Rock would be the first person to tell you, like, all that cliche bullshit that we talked about.
Oh, yeah,
I know. The first one to be like...
Oh, I've done my research on him. I know.
I mean, we grew up watching him. And
I'm just curious, like, how his girlfriend or wife is. Because, like, I just feel like his DMs must be crazy. Like, mad chicks in there just wilding, saying whatever.
I'm sure it is.
My DMs are crazy, and I'm a fucking nobody with bad teeth. So.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, so you said you're coming up on 2 years then.
Yeah.
And how long you been at AIW, like, training there? Is that 2 years, or is it...
About over a year.
Okay, all right, so you...
Yeah, I was with Johnny for, like, 9 to 10 months.
Oh, no shit.
And then, like, after I, like, got on the shows and stuff, I still kept coming to training like I do to this day, so...
Yeah, you're every Tuesday, right?
Thursdays now.
Yeah. Oh, wait...
Well, Eric Ryan has been helping out a lot now, and he's good at helping me find, like, little things to make my matches, like, better and, like, convey to the crowd what I'm trying to do more and stuff. So I'll message him, like, hey, let's work on this today, and then he'll step in and help me out a lot.
I mean, dude, coming from the first time I saw you, like, I saw something, like, immediately, and, like, that's just because... I've been watching professional wrestling for literally 30 fucking years. Like I'm a fan student of it. I love it so much. I said on a podcast a couple weeks ago, it's 90% of what I consume now is professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Because I don't consume much anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, I take in what I want, and that's it. And it's
don't look at me with that body and tell me you don't consume anything.
Oh God.
Aside from alcohol, we're correct.
Yeah.
I immediately saw something in you, and then it growing over the last, I mean, we're going on, I guess it would be 8-9 months now, you've come fucking leaps and bounds ahead of where you were even back then. And I mean, like, even from the first time I saw you, I think at Absolution, to when I saw you at the Now That's Class show. The Electric Boogaloo or whatever.
Oh yeah,
that
was fun.
Yeah, that was really good. I saw Derek Direction. He posted that picture of you choke slamming him.
Derek,
and when it was him going down to the mat, it was the wasted thing from Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And he was just like, yeah, that one time PB Smooth got me. I was like, yeah, he's still got he'll run through the rest of the production again. You and Magnum, dude. It's going to be a championship match.
Magnum.
I'm telling you. That poor guy. I feel so bad for him.
Magnum's a great dude, man.
Dude, he's another one. Just like fought. Like I said, I met him through old wrestling. I was telling you, I met him through old wrestling. And he's just such an awesome dude to talk to.
Well, the thing about Magnum that helped me a lot was there's not a lot of guys close to my size that I've been lucky enough to get in the ring with,
mm-hmm.
and like he was like the first one that was like close to my size and athletic and can do stuff. So it's like, hey, like, now we can really see what I can do and how I can fare against somebody like him who's like a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
So, like, that was kind of like a growing up situation for me. Like, it helped out a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome.
Do you just find guys close to your size are, like, in the 400, 500 pound range? Or is it just, you know, is it just all short people in your life?
Most of them are, like, thicker. Like,
yeah.
Big guys. And, I don't know. Like, a lot of guys are just. I feel like I'm different because, like, I don't do, like, the flips and the moonsaults and all that kind of stuff because I don't think that's what I need to do.
I was going to say, you don't need to.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to, like, find my own lane and even, like, stick out whether I'm, like, find a way to work guys like that.
Yeah.
So that it's still, there's still some chemistry there, but still do it my way and hopefully I mean, get everyone to buy into it.
And I firmly believe, and I've told you this for months now, like, I firmly believe that you are developing your own style that is very, like, it's going to come across, like, and it's going to transcend, you know, more than just one little area of the country. You've got something.
Well, yeah, because, like, when I originally started, some of the guys that were helping me were trying to pattern me like someone like the Big Show, and I don't have that build or size and stuff, so it doesn't make sense to me to wrestle that way.
No, not at all.
And like, there's some dudes that are like freaks, like Dijak, for example. He's amazing, but I don't do the same stuff that he does, you know, and that's fine. Like, it was me finding guys that I can like relate to and then finding my own style through that. That's where like me watching guys like Taker and Booker T and character guys and
the
stuff
first
like that.
I'll never forget one of the first conversations we ever had, and I was like, I was like, you remind me of like if Booker T met The Undertaker. And you're like, that's funny because that's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah.
And it's cool like that. I mean, like, and like the way you tweak, like, because, you know, you're paying homage to the dudes you love.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like, I see it and I watch it happening. And like the first time I ever saw you do, you know, the new school, I was like, that's fucking awesome. It's a little tweak on something, and it's also an homage, and it's still different. It's cool. I dig that a lot. You got that going for you. It's fucking good.
Do you ever watch like Akira Taue and Jumbo Tsuruta and guys like that? Like the old All Japan big guys?
I've seen some of them. I can't pronounce their names, so I'm not exactly sure the guys I watch a lot. I did watch some of Bison Smith. I like the Claw Slam he does. So I kind of
used that. I watched him when he was Super Destroyer 2000 out in All Pro Wrestling back in 2000.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah, he wore like just a mask, no entrance music. He had a lawyer manager, and he finished with the Claw, but he didn't have the Claw Slam yet.
Oh man!
Yeah, it was a wild time.
Yeah, Shear saw. He also saw Cena as the prototype way back in the day.
Oh, I've seen some of that.
Like,
yeah.
The crowd chanted "homotype" at him.
Jesus!
Oh god.
They chanted homotype at him and devil's horror at Christopher Daniels. It was a very strange little scene they had out there.
Man, I'll tell you what, Cena's the man, dude.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes,
all that Make-A-Wish and stuff that he does for the community and his ring work, like he's like the modern-day Hulk Hogan, essentially.
Dude, I've said this before. Him and The Rock are what Hulk Hogan wishes he was. I mean, because they transcend, like, Hulk Hogan, yeah, he did a couple movies here and there, but The Rock, his movies he's the most bankable movie star in the world right now. Like, he makes the most money, and Cena is on the come up, dude. Like, he's gonna be in a lot more movies, too.
Well, he was really good in Trainwreck.
Oh, he was. He was fantastic in Trainwreck. You know that movie with that LeBron James guy that you supposedly look like?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I thought he was really good in that, but
yeah, I don't get the LeBron James thing.
No, neither do I. That's why I wanted to say that.
It's insane when people say stuff like that to me. And it's like, if I react super negative, like, that's what they're going to expect. So I just got to, like, shrug it off. Like, all right, cool.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Who do you want people to say that you look like?
Me. Huh? You know, like I kind of want to just blaze my own path. Like I like all the stuff like The Rock's doing, and I want to pattern myself to be like that.
Like that.
But I want to do it my own way. Right. You know?
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like.
Like you've been talking about. I mean, we've talked about before. Is like building a brand, dude, and you're doing it, and I respect the shit out of that, man. I still gotta get one of them pens from you.
Yeah,
those are sweet.
Speaking of your brand, where can we find your work online?
My YouTube channel is Too Smooth TV. The number 2 Smooth TV. Oh, TH, by the way, not the.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I like to spell things the right way.
I appreciate that because I hate the Z's and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into that. I think it's lame, but. My Twitter is _ Mr. Fresh to Death. It's the number 2. My Facebook is facebook.com/7FootSavage. All the words spelled out. And Instagram is @PB_smooth.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. We do appreciate it. And,
thank you. And we'll PB stands for Pretty Boy, by the way.
Yeah, Pretty Boy.
Slum know that.
I figured that out when I saw your robe when I was watching your promo video. I was like, oh, that's what it is, because I thought you were Mr. Peanut Butter for a
minute. Yeah, man. It's funny. The funny thing now is if you Google PB Smooth, more of my stuff comes up than the peanut butter in the front page.
That's fucking awesome.
Well, that's
gotta put that work in.
You gotta be bigger than Mr. Peanut, and then you're set.
Yeah, man.
Choosy moms choose Pretty Boy Smooth.
Dude, that's good. I like that.
Oh, man.
All right. We got to thank our sponsors. Thank you very much to Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on Snapchat and Instagram. And thank you, Jess Falstick, @EpicFall on the Twitter. You can see her every Sunday at Avenue Tap House doing the Red Light Showcase. And you can listen to her podcast on Jordan's Network, the default setting on Above Below Entertainment. And you can sponsor the program by going to patreon.com/dirtyshear. We have 4 slots available. It's a certain amount of money per month. We make you commercials. We talk about you at the end of the show. You're basically paying to be my friend, and I appreciate the patronage. So Mr. Fresh to Death, thank you for hanging out with Mr. Rotten for Life.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for feeding me too.
No, I was hungry. Anytime, dude. I told
yes,
you,
sir.
You're welcome. You're family now, so
appreciate it.
So, Jordan, I don't think we're gonna meet anybody that hates people who complains too much as PB Smooth.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge paper. Drunkenness. I keep my bruise and my brain and under the punches, and I was meant to take.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.